Stomach Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the losses of Amanda Gentry live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. By the way, I had to update my Apple, my iPhone software. There was some app I was trying to use. I forget what it was. And it was like, you have to upgrade in order to use this app. I can't remember what it was. But anywho. So I had to upgrade my phone, right? Uh-huh. Or not upgrade the actual phone, but upgrade the software on the phone, which I don't like doing. So
just do it overnight.
For whatever it was, whatever this app was I needed it right. Oh, you know what it was? No.
It's an awfully needy app.
Hold on. I do wonder which app this was. I will get to this, the actual topic that is planned for. It was the Orange Theory app. So I actually tried to book an Orange Theory class, like just going to Orange Theory, and it popped up the app again and was like, we're sorry, you can't use this app anymore. You got to download the new app. So I go to download the new app, and the new app's like, you got to upgrade your Apple. So I'm like, no. God,
Orange Theory is so needy.
I love Orange Theory.
My goodness.
But I hate this. Oh, it just infuriates me when it's like, you have to download this dot plug extension or insert administrator password and go with, and then it just shows a little Apple logo and this little bar, and there's no update for how long it's going to take before it stops. Oh, God, I hate it. Anywho, love Orange Theory. So I get all these silence calls now. I have the option to, like, you know, make it so that all the spammers just, I don't even see that they get whatever. I don't know about you guys. I get spam called.
All the time.
Like maybe 100 times a day.
I get spam emails all the time.
Oh, spam emails for sure. But the calls are way worse.
Yeah, the calls are very annoying. Like, I'll get calls about, like, hey, like, calling about my mortgage. Like, I don't have a mortgage.
I'll be watching something like on my, I don't answer. If it's a number I don't know, I don't answer.
But so many times it's either a 615 number or like my area code from St. Louis.
Well, that's the trick.
Yeah, I know. And I've learned the trick and I block so many of them. You just got to block them. But then they just call you from one number off.
It's awful.
So many spam
calls. I'll be like watching something on my phone. Or I'll be cutting a cut off my phone and it'll be like, I'm sorry, some spam's calling. Oh, God. It's driving me nuts. Anywho, another thing that drives me nuts. The national media's obsession with Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts. And how many times have I said, right now, the Titans have won the division 2 years in a row. The Colts have not won since 2014. They changed the quarterback every single year. Now, the Colts do have an easier schedule. But Matt Ryan looked terrible in that first preseason game against the Bills backups. They don't have any receivers outside of Michael Pittman. They don't have any tight ends. In fact, their best tight end, Ogletree, tore his ACL. He's out for the year. They got a great running back. Titans probably have a better running back. And so, yet every time anybody in the national press talks about Indy, it's just, oh, Indy, oh, Ballard, oh, Reich, oh, Matt Ryan. And props to Adam Schein, a man I like a lot, by the way. Adam Schein, who was yesterday, at least he finally said it. What was the one reason that I told you deep down inside every single national media member was truly using in their hearts to downgrade the Titans in the AFC South?
Ryan Tannehill.
The quarterback. Adam Schein yesterday on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Schein on Sports. Here's what he said.
And now Matt's going to do brilliant things for the Colts. I mean, if you're a Titans fan and you watch the team practice, you watch them play, if Ryan Tannehill is the answer, especially without A.J. Brown, I'd love to know the question. Indy's going to be tremendous this year. That defense, I believe, is legit. Yannick Ngakoue is having a tremendous camp. I think that Indy defense, as long as Darius Leonard's healthy, that Indy defense is going to be top 9, top 10 in the NFL this season. And I think Matt Ryan, his talent, his professionalism, and what he represents in those areas as a gigantic major upgrade over Carson Wentz. I think the Indianapolis Colts, for the first time in the Chris Ballard era, I think that Indianapolis is going to finally win the AFC South, that elusive division crown.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that he speaks for everybody, but I really truly feel like what he just said in that 40-second clip really encompasses what I think every single person outside of Nashville, Tennessee, thinks about the AFC South.
If Ryan Tannehill is the answer, what's the question?
I think it's, but just the whole thing, just the, oh, Matt Ryan, Oh, man, his professionalism, his ability with that great Chris Ballard, who's never won anything.
Does professionalism win games?
Great. I mean, I think it does. I don't think it, you know, I mean, I think that a quarterback needs to have professionalism. But
does Tannehill not? Like, if you're going to use professionalism as a reason why you think Matt Ryan is the answer in Indy and Ryan Tannehill is not in Tennessee.
I think it does matter.
But is Ryan Tannehill not professional? Because you could look at Baker Mayfield and say, okay, well, I'd rather have Matt Ryan because he's a much better leader. He's so much more professional because Baker Mayfield's a little crybaby.
Which is the decision the Colts made.
Yes. But when you're comparing Ryan Tannehill and Matt Ryan, I don't think you can really use that professionalism excuse.
I think there were a couple different thoughts there. So I think that the Matt Ryan professionalism didn't have to do with Tannehill. Just Adam Schein was just losing his pants over how much he loves Matt Ryan to the Colts. Which is, again, I don't watch the Falcons games. I don't watch the Falcons. So I can't tell you how Matt Ryan's played the last couple of years because I haven't watched. And I feel like most people are kind of that way. No one really wants to admit that because nobody feel. Like, I think everybody thinks it would be a hit on their credibility if they came on and they just said, like, I don't watch the Falcons. I don't watch the Carolina Panthers or the Titans or whatever non-important team. I don't watch them, so I don't know. They could never do that. They would almost feel like, how dare you say you don't watch? But they don't watch.
I don't want to watch the Giants.
Nobody watches the Atlanta Falcons. So nobody has seen Matt Ryan. But everybody knows that Matt Ryan's played at a certain standard. And, you know, that standard has been okay for two decades. So, all right. And then everybody loves, in the media, Frank Reich and Chris Ballard. Doesn't matter that they haven't won anything. I've yet to figure this out. How everyone can be so enamored with a coach and general manager who've never won anything. But they are. And then it's Tannehill. And that's why I think that 40 seconds of what Adam Schein said are exactly how the national media as a whole feels about the Titans, Indianapolis Colts vying for the AFC South. And I'm not saying that they're necessarily wrong. Though, if the Colts win the division, I don't think it's going to be for the reasons that they say it was. And also, to the Indy defense point, Indianapolis yet added Yannick Ngakoue, who is a veteran pass rusher, but I think this is now like his fifth team in the last 4 years or something like that. Jacksonville, the Ravens, the Raiders, and now the Colts. And these teams, they have him and they get rid of him really quickly. But he's fine. He's a veteran pass rusher. He's fine. But I don't know about you guys, but I've never, over the last couple of years, looked at the Colts defense and thought, oh, no, it's the Colts defense. Like, this is not Ray Lewis and the Ravens. Like, I don't think their defense is a joke, but I've never worried about their defense as this major impediment that is in the way of the Titans doing anything. But that's how people feel about the Colts is, oh, man, that defense, that they should be good. And they got this great coach and this great general manager, and Tennessee got Tannehill. And that's it. Nobody will say it. The reason why Steve Tasker will not put the Titans in the group of contenders in the AFC, when he'll put Baltimore, who didn't qualify for the playoffs, in there, and he'll put Denver, and I can't remember the last time they made the playoffs. I think Peyton was their quarterback the last time they made the playoffs. And they won't put the Titans in there is because deep down inside, everybody thinks Tannehill stinks. That is the reality there, and I give Adam Schein the credit for being the first national media member to just say it. To just say, hey, you know, Tannehill. It's Tannehill. I can't take them seriously. Colts, Colts, Colts. And I heard that, and I don't know. I don't get where the Colts love comes from.
Well, and I don't blame any national media member or anyone for thinking that Tannehill's what is holding the Titans back.
Sure, I think he's holding the Titans back.
The last time they saw Tannehill, he threw a divisional round of the playoff game away. But listening to Adam Schein saying, you know, the Colts' great defense, the Colts' great pass rush with Yannick Ngakoue.
He's like, I think they could be top 10. Well, okay.
Also, the Titans have a pretty darn good pass rush as well. And so many people saying, well, the Colts have Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, they don't care. They don't care about that.
Titans,
they
Derrick
don't,
Henry.
They don't care about the Titans pass rush. They don't care about Derrick Henry. They don't care about the coach of the year.
It's I don't want to be a homer, but
it's
let's
all
be fair.
About Tannehill. It's all about Tannehill. Their opinions And you can get mad at him. I'm not mad at him.
I'm not
mad
at him.
I know how this game is played.
I am not mad at him. I'm just wondering.
The Titans are the opposite of the Denver Broncos, where the Titans have everything except for right tackle on their team is good. They have a good defensive line. They have good linebackers. They have a good secondary. They have a good running game. They have decent receivers. A quarterback who crapped his pants in the biggest moment, but we'll see. They got a good coach. They got a good general manager. But the reason they don't get the credit for it is because everybody thinks that Tannehill's no good. And that is the narrative that the Titans have to play against. But Indianapolis is so – they care about winning PR battles, and I think they do a good job of winning them. The problem is that that doesn't really matter in the NFL. Belichick doesn't care about PR, and he wins games. And Indianapolis didn't make the playoffs last year. Like, they didn't make the playoffs. The Steelers made the playoffs last year. Like that, and nobody knocks the coach for it. I've never seen anything like it. And again, the sports books say Indianapolis over Tennessee. And I kind of, just because of the schedule right now, if I had to put my money on it, I'm still torn because, boy, that Bills performance was so bad by that Colts starting unit. They did not play against the Lions. And I don't know what happened in the practices, though. Hard Knocks tonight. We'll probably get an inside glimpse. Here we go at a baby. We might be able to get an inside glimpse of what happened in those practices. But, boy, they look so bad against the Bills. So, I guess this is my long-winded way of saying I don't know yet. But, again, the Adam Schein, the, oh, Matt Ryan, oh, the Colts, oh, Ballard, oh, Riker, Tannehill. That is how the media and the country, I believe, feels about the Titans. 615-737-1025. We'll hop on your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Colts, I did a further dive into that Jim Irsay press conference. Boy, there were some doozies. Some real doozies. And I don't know, like, do we believe this stuff? We'll get to that coming up next. Silly Underdog Picks is back. Silly Underdog Picks is back. That is right. Silly Underdog Picks is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
You know, we know going into it, it's about Tennessee. It's about winning the division. It's about going against those guys who have been very tough, and they do a great job there and getting their players ready to play football in a tough physical way. So it's always tough going against those guys, but we know that's what we have to do. That's what we have to overcome if we want to get where we want to get.
There you go. That was old kooky Jim Irsay talking last week. He had a press conference when they had the joint practices as we talk about the Titans and the Colts. And we did not dive super deep into it other than the Titans stuff. But my goodness gracious, some of these Irsay comments, and I don't know if this is where the national media fawns over the Colts is because of these things Irsay says, but the Indianapolis Colts are, like, I don't even know how to describe it, about how perpetually overrated they are and how just sometimes some of these takes that they have are just off the wall. For instance, talking about what he wants his organization to be like. He's talking about, you know, some of the teams out there that they want to emulate. And remember, the Colts have not made the playoffs. Or no, they made the playoffs in 2021. Or no, 2020. They have not won the division since 2014. It's been 8 years since they last won the division. And this is who Irsay thinks their organization should emulate.
It's been created in Pittsburgh. It's been created in Green Bay. It's been created in Denver. So you have to do that. I mean, it's about greatness with the horseshoe and continuing to show that eras don't last forever, but great organizations do, and it's up to us to go get that next world championship and create this new era.
Wow. So he's saying we need to be like Denver. We need to be like Pittsburgh. We need to be like Green Bay. Well, you know what Green Bay hasn't done? Green Bay has not run through 5 quarterbacks in the last 5 years. In fact, for starting quarterbacks, I feel like Green Bay has probably, to go back to their 5 quarterbacks ago, you'd almost be at Bart Starr. You'd be going back so far in the rearview mirror. Pittsburgh has had three coaches over the last 60 years between Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and now Mike Tomlin. I mean, I'd like to be like Pittsburgh, too. I'd love, you know what? I'd love for the Titans to be like the Green Bay Packers. You know what? Floyd really screwed up. Instead of drafting Pac-Man Jones in 2005, they should have drafted Aaron Rodgers. And guess what? If they had drafted Aaron Rodgers, then we'd be talking about the Titans in the McNair era and that Rodgers era, and it's just so great. Of course, everybody wants to be like those teams. Everybody wants to be those. Everybody. And then Denver? Like, no disrespect to Denver. Denver won with Elway. The only reason, in all seriousness, the only reason the Denver Broncos even matter in the landscape of the history of the NFL is because the Colts are stupid. Irsay and his dad have directly the reasons why Denver has been good. And maybe that's why he brought them up. Because they screwed it up. But they screwed up the Elway deal in 83 where they drafted him number one. And they ended up trading him for Chris Hinton and a first round pick because Elway was not going to play for the Baltimore Colts. And so they gave the Broncos 20 years of greatness in John Elway. And then they decided, we got to go with Andrew Luck instead of Peyton. And they released Peyton and they gave the Broncos Manning, and they haven't even been to the playoffs since. I mean, old man Jim Irsay, he is just going down the cuck hole. And then on top of it, Matt Ryan. But we get on Adam Schein for all of his. Matt Ryan.
It's not just Adam Schein.
This is what Irsay said last week at Colts practice.
The interesting thing is we have this strong feeling when Matt Ryan comes in from the passion of my heart, from what Chris Ballard has known and Coach Reich, that look at, you know, this is a time to set up another generation of greatness. You know, we were there with Peyton Manning. We did all the things with Peyton and Marvin and Edgerrin that, you know, is well documented. The 115 wins in a decade, going to two Super Bowls, winning two home AFC championship games. So, but now's the time to create another era.
How do you create an era with a 37-year-old quarterback?
And when he says the next generation of winning, Ryan's not going to be around for another generation.
37 years old, and he's not even that good.
And I think the funny thing, too, is everyone calls Philip Rivers old man Rivers. And how could Indianapolis could have ever expected to invest in a future with Philip Rivers? Philip Rivers was 38 when he was the quarterback.
He was throwing the ball like an old people.
Matt Ryan is 37. I don't know where this idea of Matt Ryan being a spring chicken came from. I view Matt Ryan as no more than just a patch to get Indianapolis to whenever they can find their next quarterback.
Matt Ryan and the Colts are a prom date. They're not really dating, but it was like, you know what? It makes sense for these two.
All of my friends have dates, and your friends are my friends. We'll just go together. Our parents are friends.
You don't want to go with Atlanta, you know, screw them.
Your ex-boyfriend screwed you over, so I'll take
you. And you know what's crazy, though, about this stuff? Is, I mean, I think a lot of people believe this stuff.
Well, you talk about Adam Schein, you know, just kissing the ground that Matt Ryan walks
on. Oh, Matt Ryan!
Everyone kisses the ground
Everybody.
That Matt Ryan walks and on. They and did I'm it. Not disrespecting
they
Matt
They did
Ryan.
It this time last year in Atlanta. No. They were not kissing Matt Ryan's tush.
No, not at all. And so that's where, you know, is it the change of environment just completely changes everyone's perceptions on Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan's not a bad quarterback, but Matt Ryan is not a top five quarterback in the league. So where is this idea that he is?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know where they get this
I don't know from. Either.
I don't know. And I mean, Irsay, just going down the rabbit hole, man. We want to be like Pittsburgh, and we want to, yeah.
I think he wants to be like Green Bay because they had their franchise quarterback and Brett Favre won a Super Bowl, then found their next franchise quarterback and Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. And the same thing in Denver. They had their franchise quarterback won a Super Bowl, then had Peyton won a Super Bowl. Like, bringing the Colts into
so we had
the modern
our,
Super
we
Bowl
had
era.
Our
we had our
quarterback,
Peyton Manning.
We won the championship. We
thought Andrew Luck was going to be the one. Now we're trying to find the next one in
line. If Robert Kraft got up there and said about the Patriots, We feel like maybe Mac Jones can be the guy who bridges us to our next era of great Patriot football. Like, I think that I'd understand that.
I think people would believe it.
I mean, I don't know if Mac Jones is going to work out with these freaking bobos as his offensive coaches.
But I see Mac Jones potentially entering into the next era of great Patriots football more than I see Matt Ryan carrying the Colts to the next great era of Colts football.
I mean, look.
That's not a knock on Matt Ryan. He's just old.
Mac Jones went to the playoffs his first year, did some things that I think a lot of people liked. I liked a lot of the things that Mac Jones did. I could see the argument of they had Brady for 20 years, and they hope to see if Jones can be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
They hope to see if Jones can be a franchise quarterback. This is not Joe Montana and Steve Young. But that's what Irsay, it feels like he's looking at is, and maybe we should interpret Irsay's comments as he's tired of being mediocre. Instead of lollipop land, instead of, well, it's just my heart and Chris Ballard's heart and Frank Reich's heart. We all believe that the Colts are. Maybe it's like he feels like, I'm sick and tired of being mediocre. We said last week his comments about beating the Titans.
Yeah.
And when this guy's talking Super Bowl. So if they don't make the playoffs this year like they did last year, or they don't beat the Titans, Amy Adams Strunk ain't talking Super Bowl.
Well, Amy Adams Strunk also doesn't have the same
desire to get in front of the camera?
Yes.
But she's not talking Super Bowl. But to the point, if he's talking Super Bowl and they don't beat the Titans and they don't win the division, like we said Friday, he's going to fire that coach and general manager.
Well, and I think that another part of that is not just we think Matt Ryan is going to bring us into the modern Super Bowl era, but more so we need to be brought into the modern Super Bowl era because other teams have figured it out, so why can't we?
I don't know. I don't have any sympathy for them because they ruined Andrew Luck. Like, they had it. Like, Andrew Luck was that dude. Andrew Luck was, they had it. They had what Green Bay and, like, all these generation teams that go from one quarterback to the next guy, which is so hard to do in this league because it's so hard to find the first one. And they had it. And Indy is not a well-run organization outside of Manning, who was practically the coach of that team. Now, Polian was a good general manager. I still wonder when I go back to Irsay, and I wasn't there. I don't know the details. I didn't keep that close a track of it at the time. But I would love to know why Irsay. I understand that they were terrible the year that Manning got hurt and they fired Jim Caldwell. And I didn't think Jim Caldwell was the greatest coach in the world anyways. Why'd they fire Polian? Like, Peyton Manning got hurt. Of course you're bad. That's what happens. Like, we talk about this stuff with Logan Woodside every day. If Tannehill gets hurt, this team stinks. Peyton Manning has neck surgery. Of course you're bad. But now you get to draft Andrew Luck. So wouldn't you want Polian, a Hall of Fame general manager who went to 4 Super Bowls in a row with the Bills, who took your team to 2 Super Bowls, wouldn't you want Polian to go hire the next coach, build the team around Andrew Luck, and then turn it over to the next guy, kind of like, you know, the way the Yankees did with Stick Michael turning it over to Bob Watson, and they win all these championships with Jeter and Pettit and Rivera, and, like, isn't that what they should have done? Like, and again, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But this is why I have no sympathy for Irsay with this. About why his, and I'll say this. I think a part of it is because the Titans have had Tannehill and the Texans have been kind of a flimsy organization. They won a division with Brian Hoyer. They've won with Brock Osweiler. Watson was there, but Watson was only good there for 2 years. Outside of that, the Texans winning was all random schmoes off the street. You know, Watson won the division in 18 and he won the division in 19. But that's it. So all the times the Texans have won, it's been Matt Schaub, it's been Osweiler and Hoyer. And so I can see Irsay looking at the fact that they haven't won the division since 2014. And the quarterbacks who have won the AFC South are Brian Hoyer, Brock Osweiler, Blake Bortles, and Ryan Tannehill. And thinking to himself, I mean, good God, we can't win this organization. We can't win this division with Andrew Luck. We can't win this division. I'm paying $28 million a year for the last 6 years for all these quarterbacks, and we're losing to Brian Hoyer? So I understand why Irsay would feel that way. I just don't have any sympathy. because he fired Bullion and he ruined Luck, and this is what they get. And this is why, ultimately, if it's bad at the top, it eventually seeps in. And so when people get mad at a Jets quarterback, I'm like, don't get mad at the Jets quarterback. They get mad at the Jets coach, I'm like, don't get mad at the Jets coach. It's not about Ron Rivera is going to get fired this year in Washington. It's not Ron Rivera's fault.
Well, there's a reason why the Jets in Washington and these organizations
socialist
that are
government league
perpetually bad.
The
there's
NFL
a reason why they continue
is
to stay
a socialist
that.
Government league. The best team gets the worst pick. The worst team gets the best schedule. That's why. Because they want everybody to be 8-8. And then if your team has a good quarterback, then he makes about three or four plays over the course of a season that take you from that 8-8 or what, you know, 9-8, 8-9, whatever it is now. And that gets you four extra wins. Now you're 12-4. That's the difference. And that's why the same teams are at the bottom every year. And that's why the teams that are well-run, like the Steelers, are always somewhere in the mix, even if they don't have the best players. 615-737-1025. We'll get your phones on this. 615-737-1025. And your thoughts on the Colts. Stillman and Company right now, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, tell us about the Caesar Sportsbook.
It is time for the Caesar Sportsbook Report. Now, first things first, your first bet with Caesar Sportsbook, it's on Caesars. It's on the house, so no worries. Up to $1,250. Download the app and use the promo code RADIOFULL, one word, RADIOFULL, and then place your first bet. And if you win, then congratulations. You just got a little bit more rich, but if not, don't worry about it. You'll get that stake back as a free bet. Now, if you need something to place that first bet on, look at the Braves at the Pirates tonight. I'm taking the Braves. You can take it on the money line, -304 odds. Not great odds there, so I'm going to take the Braves on the run line, -1.5 and -160 odds. The Braves won yesterday against the Pirates. Atlanta's 12-2 in the last 14, and Max Fried is pitching, and he has been absolutely lights out as of late. So that's my pick, but do it how you want to do it. Just do it with the Caesars Sportsbook app. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Download it, people.
I think the Colts probably figure out a way to win the division. Jacksonville's in a rebuild. Houston's in a rebuild. I don't think Tennessee will be a number one seed. They lost their best receiver. I don't feel like Tennessee will always be capable with Mike Vrabel, but I don't feel a lot of special. And I think the Colts have a chance to win the division.
Cowherd last week, everybody's picking the Colts. Everybody's picking against the Titans. And every time Tannehill's name comes up, phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal is from Seafood Sensation. Seafood Sensation is a lively restaurant in the heart of Nashville that uses the best ingredients and provides a great atmosphere. Get half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last.
Whenever we talk about the Colts, it's almost like a bat signal for Indy Ben.
Indy Ben, at some point, I got to figure out why Indy Ben listens to this show.
I think it's a hate listen. He feels like he has to because he gets so worked up every day.
Does Indy Ben ever chime in on the Predators?
We haven't talked about the Predators, but I don't think so.
Do you ever remember Indy Ben talking about the Predators?
I don't remember.
Nothing comes to mind.
So does Indy Ben just listen for the Predators talk and then wait till we get back on the Titans talk and then crap on the Titans when we talk about them?
But Indy Ben listens throughout the day.
Clearly.
There's texts from the morning show, from the midday show, from our show. He listens in all day.
Shout out for Indy Ben. How do you go with the Indy Ben?
Thanks, Indy Ben.
All right. What
do you
say?
Hate listening for everybody.
What
do
you say?
Says, it's funny how Titans fans and local radio hosts believe the Colts are overrated. How predictable. That's how most of the country feels about the Titans.
Here's my thing about the Colts. The Colts are always overrated. Every year the Colts are picked to win the division. Every year. And they haven't won it since 2014. Indy Ben can say that the Titans are perpetually overrated, but how are they overrated? Nobody's picking them to win the division.
Nobody ever talks about the Titans.
Vegas, they're not picking them. I mean, the last time that the national media was excited about the Titans, on this day 2 years ago, there was a cut. When I was saving them in my computer this morning of Stephen A. is picking the Colts over the Titans. So that was 2 years ago. Stephen A. picked the Colts over the Titans. How'd they finish? Titans. Last year, they traded for Carson Wentz. I mean, I celebrated. I was so happy the day that they traded for Carson Wentz. I was ecstatic. I posted a video after I got off the elliptical. I was sweating. Joe Rexro thinks it's bad to sweat when you're on the elliptical, apparently. I guess he doesn't go very fast when he exercises. But I'm telling you, like, I was so happy because I knew it was going to be a disaster.
It's the first day we met.
It was the first day we met. Just like when Urban Meyer got hired in Jacksonville, I was ecstatic. I knew it was going to be terrible, and it was. And the national media loved on the Colts last year. And when it comes to the coach and the general manager, it's always, oh, Ballard's a great general manager. He's a great general manager. And every time I hear that, I think to myself, okay, why don't they say the same things about John Robinson? And I'm not the biggest, you know, I mean, I like John Robinson a lot. But I'm not like, I don't think John Robinson is the best general manager in the NFL. I think that's Brandon Bean in Buffalo. I think Robinson's probably a top seven general manager in the NFL. But they never talk about the Titans and say, oh, the Titans have a great general manager. They do say they have a great coach. But that's in large part because the results of the coach, it's hard to dispute. But, and the coach is kind of famous. You know, the coach is, he won championships as a player. He's, everybody knows him, you know, whatever. So I guess what I'm saying is, how can we argue that the Titans are overrated when nobody rates the Titans highly? It'd be one thing to say that they're overrated, but no one's even picking them to win the division. I had a guy from Pro Football Focus as a guest on one of the Sirius shows like last week. And he said he's taking Jacksonville at 7-1 to win the South because of the odds that he feels like he gets on that, which makes sense. But seriously, nobody thinks the Titans. To say that the Titans are overrated is ridiculous because nobody is saying good things about the Titans. So you can't tell me the Titans are overrated. What's next?
Josh texts in and says all the Colts love comes from the media still thinking Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning are their quarterbacks.
I think that is true.
I think a lot of people get in their mind an idea that an organization is a good organization because they've won in the past.
But nobody does that really with the Patriots. Get rid of that.
I feel like they do.
Oh, I don't think people are hyping up the Patriots this season. Maybe it's because they share a division with Buffalo and Buffalo's the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. But
or maybe it's the perception of you just lost the greatest quarterback of all time, so how could you possibly come back from that?
Imagine if Matt Ryan had gone to the Patriots. All the love. I think there would be some love there.
Because Cam Newton went to the Patriots, and it wasn't like...
Wasn't there some Cam Newton hype?
There was. There was.
Bill Belichick is going to be able
to... Bill will get the best out of Cam.
Revigorate, Cam Newton's career.
Revigorate.
What?
You said revigorate?
What's the word I'm looking for?
There's invigorate.
Reinvigorate.
Or reinvigorate.
Reinvigorate.
Yeah. There was a little bit of that, but maybe I was just so skeptical of that. Cam sucked. I knew he was done. Cam was like a running back from the sense that he had taken so many hits that he just wasn't good anymore. And everyone's like, oh, give Cam a chance or whatever. There was some that Belichick could pull him out, but it was right after. Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? Who knows? And now that everybody knows that it's Brady, I don't think that people give the Patriots that kind of a pass. What's a team that was good in the 2000s? And, you know, what's a team that's been good since Seattle? Seattle was good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
No one's giving Seattle the benefit of the doubt.
True.
No one says, well, Pete Carroll won, you know, when Russell Wilson was a rookie. So what is that? Nobody's talking about that. It's Indy. It's the one team. And maybe it's because
the Cowboys.
It's in
Cowboys always get love.
But the Cowboys get as much hate as they get love. The Cowboys are just popular. That's different than everybody in the media gets on their knees and waxes poetically about the Colts. They're the one team. And I think it's because they play in the least popular division that in the country that doesn't have Tom Brady. If the NFC South didn't have Tom Brady, then the NFC South would be as unimportant as the AFC South. But because it has Tom Brady, that is the story of that division. And maybe people would say if Tampa had lost Brady and trying to think of who would be their quarterback, Baker or Jimmy or whomever is their quarterback, I think a lot of teams would pick the Saints just because they're the Saints, even though the quarterback and the coach aren't there anymore. But you're right. It is totally the Peyton and Andrew Luck effect on that division is why people just love on the Colts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I do have to get to this topic because there is a guy yesterday who a lot of you all were down on who even I, who is a big time supporter, even though I was down, it looks like he's making a resurgence. Maybe. Marcus. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. So yesterday I was on my phone. I'm on Twitter. And somebody tweets me about how the Monday Night Football broadcast crew is terrible. And I'm like, what? And so I'm like, Monday Night Football, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they just paid like $30 million a year in order to get Buck and Aikman in there. And I'm not the biggest Buck and Aikman fan in the world, but I don't think that Buck and Aikman stink. I mean, we know stinky broadcasters. Buck and Aikman are not that. So I'm like, what are you talking about? So I flip it on, and it's Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky, who, by the way, will be doing the second Titans game this upcoming season. They'll be doing the Titans-Buffalo game on the doubleheader. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck didn't want to do the Titans. So they're doing the other game. So the Titans will end up with the crew that was fine but not great. And I'm watching, it's the Falcons and the Jets. And the Falcons are up. And they're talking about how good Marcus Mariota played for the Falcons. So I had to go back and watch the highlights. He threw a bomb last night. Marcus Mariota, 6 of 10 for 132 yards,
ooh,
one touchdown, and a quarterback rating of 137.5. They kicked a field goal on the first drive. Marcus moved him down the field, and I didn't see any of this because I turned it on when somebody told me that the Monday Night crew stunk, and I was like, oh, Monday Night Football. And I turned it on, and the Falcons were already up. And so just looking at the game log, seeing how Mariota to Kyle Pitts for a gain of 52. Mariota, gain of 12. Mariota, incomplete. Mariota, complete, short for 3 yards. And then they had to kick a field goal on fourth down at the 5-yard line. Then the next drive, they ran the ball, got 4 yards. Mariota for 13. Then the Jets committed a penalty. Mariota, oh, how about this one? Mariota passed deep, complete to Anthony Firkser for a gain of 39 yards. Way to go, Marcus. All way right. to go, Firkser. Way to go. All right, Marcus moving him right on down the field. Marcus complete to Zacharias for 13 yards for a touchdown, all Mariota. Right, way to go, Marcus. I would bet against Marcus, but I am rooting for Marcus. So I have two thoughts on this. One, I'm not, you know me, I am not Mr. It's the preseason, it doesn't count. I'm not that guy by any stretch of the imagination. I am not that guy because I think there are a lot of things that we can glean from the preseason, i.e. the right tackle position for the Titans. We can glean that it's a freaking gong show right now. So I believe that there are things that we can take away from it. But it is the Jets. And I believe it was the Jets' second stringers. It might have been their first stringers. I don't know their first string roster. But the Jets' first string roster, generally speaking, resembles that of an average team's second string anyways. But I do wonder if Marcus goes to Atlanta, and this is the second point here, if Marcus goes to Atlanta and performs well. Because in fairness to the Falcons, it wasn't like they waited around. It wasn't like, you know, they went after Deshaun Watson. Matt Ryan got mad. They amicably moved Matt Ryan to the Colts because Matt Ryan handled his business like a pro and the Falcons respected Matt Ryan enough to treat him like a pro. And so they shipped him to Indy for a third round pick and then immediately signed Marcus. It wasn't like they waited and waited and waited and waited like the Patriots did to sign Cam Newton a couple years ago. They immediately jumped out there and signed Mariota, which means Arthur wanted him. And if Arthur succeeds with Mariota this year in Atlanta, then wouldn't a lot of us think that Tannehill's revival was in large part because of Arthur, which we already kind of think. But if he's able to revive Marcus, then it's like, because we all know how good Marcus is. We know what Marcus can do. We know what Marcus can't do. We know it's very likely that Marcus is going to get hurt. Marcus never had any players here like Kyle Pitts, which would be really, really nice if the Titans had Kyle Pitts on their team right now. I mean, I guess it's a long-winded way of saying, I'm rooting for Marcus. Make no mistake about it. You know, the AJ thing, AJ has kind of put everybody in a position where I feel like Titan fans root against A.J. Brown. I feel like I'm rooting against A.J. Brown. I'm rooting for Marcus. I told Marcus in the locker room after the AFC Championship game. It was just he and I. We talked for about 2 or 3 minutes. And I told Marcus that I really, really appreciated the guy he was and that I really, really want good things to happen to him. And I meant it. And he is such a great guy, and he's getting an opportunity with Arthur in Atlanta. Most everybody expects the Falcons to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. It's almost like they went into this season thinking, well, we went after Deshaun. We didn't get him, thank God. And we ended up angering Matt Ryan. And so Matt goes to Indianapolis, pick up Marcus this year. If Marcus is no good, we'll put in Ritter. If Ritter's no good, we'll draft C.J. Stroud next year in the first round. That kind of feels like the Atlanta game plan. And that they've got the young receiver, Garrett Wilson. They got the young tight end, Kyle Pitts. And it's like, okay, we're building around this infrastructure that if we bring in a quarterback, that he'll have a receiver, he'll have a tight end, he'll have an offensive coach, he'll be able to flourish at that point.
They have Drake London, too, I believe, in Atlanta.
Was it Drake London they drafted instead of Garrett Wilson? Mm-hmm. I get that wrong? Garrett Wilson's with the Jets?
Correct.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry about that. So they got Drake London and they got Kyle Pitts. So it's like we got these two guys to build around for our future quarterback. But what if Marcus blows that all up? I mean, I'll be happy for Marcus, but then I'll kind of be – and if Tannehill struggles this year, then I will kind of acquiesce to the idea that Arthur is some kind of genius.
I mean, and I also kind of think that already because there were so many things that were different with the Titans, but also the one big glaring difference between 2020 and 2021 was Arthur Smith. And you could look to Jonnu Smith. You could look to Corey Davis. But really, how much did Corey Davis do?
No, Corey Davis had 900 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a good season.
And taking away 900 yards is not nothing.
Right.
But that's kind of been my hypothesis all along is no Arthur Smith without the chemistry, without Arthur Smith being able to apparently unlock something in Tannehill that Todd Downing hasn't been able to do yet.
But we've seen a different Tannehill at training camp, which makes me think that...
Then is that just, you know, he needed a little bit more chemistry with Todd Downing, and he had that with Arthur Smith.
Or his receivers.
Or his receivers.
Because when Tannehill
lack of
took
a tight
off,
end was...
When Tannehill took off, he had just come in and had the offseason as the backup quarterback with Arthur. And that's the other thing with Arthur that I found really confusing was Arthur was on the staff when they made the change from Mariota to Tannehill. Now, people whose opinions I trust told me that in the preseason game, at the end of the season, at the end of the preseason in 2019, Mariota dove into the end zone and he took a shot in the back from the Patriots. And Vrabel was really unhappy that Mariota did that in a preseason game. He went flying like a helicopter into the end zone for a touchdown. And somebody told me that Marcus basically ruined like the shoulder back area and tried to play with an injury in that 2019 season, which it all came apart in the first six games. But Arthur was the offensive coach of that team. So Arthur was clearly part of the brain trust in the decision to go to Tannehill off of Mariota.
But it's telling that he was so eager to pick up Marcus.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It felt like this Titan organization that when Marcus and it's through nobody's fault. It's not like I'm mad at Robinson for this or I'm mad at Vrabel for this. But it's almost like when they made the change to Tannehill and they won a couple of games, it was like, done with Marcus. And that's kind of how I felt the whole organization was. Like, not even a second thought to the idea of ever bringing Marcus back. No thought about ever wanting Marcus around.
Well, how did you feel?
I mean, I liked Marcus.
But did you think Marcus should have stuck around?
I mean, if Marcus was going to be a backup, I don't see why he wouldn't have been a backup here to go to the Raiders to go be a backup. I mean, it wasn't. Now, there was a big discussion when that happened because everybody thought that Gruden didn't like Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Apparently, little did we know that Gruden
liked
turned
him better
down
than Tom Brady.
There was like a big discussion about Mariota versus Carr and everything else. So maybe that was a little weaker footing than here where Tannehill had signed a $100 million contract. But I don't know. It just felt like Vrabel and those guys were just kind of done with Marcus, and they moved on, and Arthur was a part of that. And then for Arthur to be like, Marcus, and not be interested in anybody else, I thought was pretty telling that maybe Arthur, if that injury story is true, maybe Arthur thought, no, I can win with Marcus. Or maybe Arthur knows that Marcus will do what he tells him to do, and that will allow him to develop Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and that Marcus won't win enough games, so then they'll be able to go draft Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
Well, he knows the system, right?
Sure. Uh-huh.
And Arthur Smith is familiar with him, so he knows the skill set. So it's less work he has to do to get him familiar with in the offense. He knows already his strengths and weaknesses, so it's easy for him to figure out a game plan, much easier than bringing someone brand new.
Plus, I don't think how many Shanahan system quarterbacks were available in the offseason. Cousins wasn't.
I mean, just all these backups that we've keep Garoppolo. Talking about that would be an option for the Titans.
Jimmy would have been the one guy.
Yeah. But it
but he had the shoulder surgery. So.
And he's $24 million and Marcus is like 16 or whatever. Marcus is on a bridge quarterback contract.
The difference between the intention of Arthur Smith bringing in Marcus, that I think is interesting, is that he thinks that he can win with Marcus and Marcus is, you know, the solution long-term in Atlanta, or I know him well enough and I think that we can be just bad enough to find our quarterback of the future.
So I do wonder what the decision with Arthur Blank was when they decided to go forward with Marcus. Like when they ended up having to trade Matt Ryan. Because if Matt Ryan's the quarterback, even though they had no chance to win with Matt Ryan, it was, we have to try to win with Matt Ryan. That was something they would have to every year try to win with Matt Ryan. Well, now that Matt Ryan's out, the next question is, okay, now do we tear it down?
Yeah.
And is Marcus the guy that they're tearing it down with? I think that's a fair question. But yesterday in the preseason, congrats to Marcus for how he played. We are rooting for Marcus on this program. Shout out to Mariota. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If we haven't gotten to you yet, we will. Trevor coming up at 4:30. Again, his unbiased expert opinion on Raidens and Petit Frere and that disaster of a right tackle position that the Titans fans have right now. I do have this one question about Malik Willis, and we will talk to Trevor about Malik Willis as well. And it's a one question that I've got. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.